It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, are we going to go through the same song and dance this holiday season that we go through every year with people wanting to restrict our celebrations, how many people we can have in our homes, whether or not we can put up manger scenes? Well, it's not just Christmas. It is a good question, my friend. It's a very good question. And of course, Thanksgiving is just a couple of weeks away. I lump them together. I think of Thanksgiving basically as heralding in the Christmas season, even though we heralded it even earlier than Thanksgiving with our Christmas bumper music the entire month of November. But yeah, basically, most people think of Thanksgiving as the season that heralds it in. And here to help navigate you through it, as she does every year, is our own Smiley Miley.
Hey, kids. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And even though the actual holiday is Thursday, we're going to give you Friday off, too. When you add in Saturday and Sunday, it will seem like a four-day holiday. But you would have gotten Saturday and Sunday off anyway, so it's really a two-day holiday made out of a one-day holiday. Isn't Thanksgiving fun? Thanksgiving is a different kind of holiday than Christmas. We don't use the word Christmas anymore because the word offends the five people in our country who don't celebrate Christmas. Not so with Thanksgiving, because no matter what people believe, everybody still loves to eat. So have a great time with your parents around the big dinner table, stuffing your little faces with turkey, pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, and candied yams. And unlike Christmas, you can even say Happy Thanksgiving to every one of your little playmates. But be careful and make sure you don't tell them who we are being thankful to. Because if you did that, you might have to explain that the first Thanksgiving was made up of pilgrims who were thankful to God. And we don't talk about God anymore because talking about God makes people upset. And it makes them afraid that those who don't believe in God will be arrested and put in jail. That would never happen. But people are still afraid it will happen. And, well, you don't want people to be afraid, do you? Of course not. So don't talk about God unless you want to call him Allah. Then it is okay because people don't worry about being arrested in America for not believing in Allah. They just worry about being arrested in all the other countries if they don't believe in Allah. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What if someone asks me what the first Thanksgiving was all about? How can I explain that without mentioning God? Silly. There are all kinds of things to mention about the first Thanksgiving. You can mention the Mayflower. You can mention the pilgrims, so long as you leave out the part about them coming to America for religious freedom. Because mentioning religious freedom means we will lose our religious freedom. But there's plenty more to talk about. Talk about how wild the original turkeys were. And talk about the Indians who were friendly to the pilgrims. Calling the Indians friendly is always a smart and sensitive thing to do. Only don't use the word Indian. Use the word Native American. Then people will smile at you instead of accusing you of hate speech. Oh, one more thing. If people ask you why Thanksgiving is a holiday, be sure not to tell them that holiday means holy day. Otherwise, you'll have to explain what's holy about it, and we'll be right back where we started. Well, now that you're up to speed on your etiquette and courtesy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Please welcome back my good friend and sometimes co-host, Jim Barrier.
You know, that made me hungry.
I wrote that skit. I wrote that skit years ago, but I have to have already eaten while I listened to it. It makes me want to just leave the studio right now and go have a Thanksgiving dinner right now.
I do love the Thanksgiving holiday and what it was originally, and I even enjoy some of the contemporary stuff. I'll watch a college football game here or there, and I'll eat a big meal. But anyway, enjoy. That was a fun skit, and I always appreciate your humor and your drama. Speaking of which, how did the one-man play go?
It went very well. Thank you for asking. We had a good attendance, great response, some visitors. It was sponsored by my class, but we had a lot of new people there. And we had people that were able to watch it on Zoom also. My Sunday school class had gone completely to Zoom during the 15-day only shutdown in 2020. And when my church finally opened up, a lot of people, for safety reasons, wanted to stay on Zoom. And then a lot of people who had moved out of the state but wanted to start participating. Yeah. And then others who would just follow my ministry, they heard about it. So we actually had three different people in Hawaii watching the play. So Eternal Reach has done Hawaii. So anyway, yeah, thank you for asking. Thank you for praying for it. The play went very well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, you know, speaking of Zoom meetings and stuff, has it not occurred to these high-powered, highly intelligent climate experts that when they have these international meetings, why can't they just do that like they made churches have their meetings, you know?
Exactly. Because, Jim, we're the peasants, they're the nobles.
Makes me wonder if they're totally virtuous and honest about everything with us.
I stopped wondering if they were virtuous, I don't know, 20 years ago, or was it 25?
At least, yeah. Well, you know, we grew up in the 60s, and so, and I've said this before, you know, when I was growing up in school in the 60s, a teacher told me to question authority, and of course I said, who are you to tell me to question?
Yeah, right.
That's one of my favorite lines.
That's good.
All right. Well, you know, we've got some heavy material to talk about tonight, so maybe we'll just jump right in, and then if we get cut off with a break, we can always pick up where we left off. I want to start with something I read. I don't know much about this man, but I think I like him a lot. U.S. Representative Doug Lamborn from Colorado sent a message to President Biden asking him to call off his top political dog at the Justice Department and put an end to the witch hunt concerning parents who dare to express their First Amendment rights at local school board meetings. This is happening all over the country now. In his letter, Lamborn said to Biden, along with several other Republican colleagues, and he criticized actions ordered by the Attorney General to classify parents as, get this, domestic terrorists for alleged harassment and intimidation of elected school board officials. Can you believe that? This is the quote, like he says, your weaponization of the nation's chief federal law enforcement agency against parents concerned over the nature of their children's public education is a clear abuse of federal authority meant to intimidate and silence parents. And man, I like this guy. I'm going to try to follow him more. He just seems to have a good grasp on what's going on there. But that's the problem that I wanted to talk to you about tonight is, you know, parents who are fed up with this stuff, and then they speak out. They have the right to free speech. They can attend these public meetings. And when they speak out against the agenda or they disagree with the superintendent, they're labeled as enemies of the state or terrorists and other things that we'll get into in a little while. How can somebody not see that this is an incredible abuse of power that's going on, not only at the federal level, but in local school districts and stuff? And it's just kind of shocking.
Well, we got to stand back and look at the big picture. The Taliban doesn't concern them. We're making deals with the Taliban. We can work with the Taliban. Taliban doesn't concern them. Open borders with the cartel now being on our side of the border, that doesn't concern them. Antifa doesn't concern them. A father stands up because some kid in high school decided to put on a dress, call himself a girl for a day because he knew that idiots, the total nincompoops in his school, would allow it. He goes in, rapes a girl. The dad protests at a meeting. That concerns them. And that, Jim, was the impetus behind that letter that the school district association sent to the Biden administration. And we've since found out that the Biden administration was in cahoots working with them on the letter. This from Merritt Garland. Remember when Obama was trying to float him as a possible replacement for Scalia in the Supreme Court? Says, I gave them a moderate. I'm sitting there. I'm watching this. I'm telling you, Jim, I had never heard the name Merritt Garland before. I'm going, there's no way this side of our planetary system that Obama put in a moderate. But moderate doesn't mean moderate anyway. I said, I'm just going to look up this guy's record on pro-choice. I'm going to look up this guy's record on same-sex marriage. Three guesses as to what his positions were, and the first two don't count. He was never a moderate. I've never liked this guy. And of course, me saying that, they could be at my door just for saying this. And you heard about what happened to Steve Bannon. He was arrested by the Justice Department because of contempt of Congress. He didn't show up for a Congress commission, like Eric Holder didn't show up, like the head of the IRS did not show up. Nobody's ever arrested by the Justice Department for not showing up, unless it's a Republican not showing up. A Democrat doesn't show up. Democrats, the rules for them and the rules for Republicans are just different, and it's going to continue being that way, and I'll tell you why. They're getting away with it. Nobody's doing anything. People are protesting, but they're in charge of everything right now, and not enough people are speaking out, and behind it all, we're just trying to keep you safe. We're just trying to keep you safe. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's an old line. Well, one, we need to vote these people out whenever we have opportunity. And then I'm going to mention the story out of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm sure you've heard about this one, but there are people that are taking action concerning local school boards. In Scottsdale, Arizona, over 600 parents in that school district are calling for the resignation of the board president after a drive was found on his computer. This is bizarre. This is like something out of a movie or TV show. And it contained personal information, photos of the parents and their children, and even things like this. There were memes where they put the parents' faces into things. One of them, with one of the parents' face superimposed over a lynching scene.
Oh, that's despicable. Okay, Jim, put a hold on that. I want to hear more about that. Give us the details of that when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And I think we just heard from the boss. That is Bruce Springsteen, I believe, singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Did I get that one right?
Let me verify with Brendan.
That's right. And the E Street Band. Can't forget about them, too.
Well, it's not even time for Stump Jim Barrier, and he's so eager. He's playing Stump Jim Barrier just on the incoming bumper music. Well,
now on the bumper music, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's a fun one, that song. And thank you again, Bob, for playing Christmas music before some people feel that it's appropriate. I particularly think I could listen to Christmas music all year long, but that would drive.
Well, you know, Jim, I can understand where the government's at, because maybe playing Christmas music is dangerous because of COVID. Maybe we should put masks on the console and see how the music sounds more. Brendan, maybe you could muffle the music a little bit so that the music kind of has a mask on it. That way people that are listening to their radio or listening to the stream over the internet, the COVID won't go through their ear right off of their computer.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the beauties of the Christmas music, especially the traditional, the classic carols and stuff, these are songs about Jesus. And, you know, people sing them in the malls and in the public. Carolers go out and they're singing about Jesus. And I just think that it's a pretty cool thing that we get away with that.
So, yeah, well, who knows how much longer anybody's going to be getting away with anything. But you were talking. You were talking about this picture of somebody at the school board.
Yeah.
And the picture was superimposed. Go back to that. That was, I want to say it was interesting.
It's
devastating,
these,
but I want to hear about this.
It's pretty brutal. They're doing memes with parents' faces. And the one that I mentioned was with a picture of one of the parents involved in a lynching. Now these people, the parents that are concerned, it started a year ago when they were protesting. They were against not allowing kids to come to school. For quite a while, their kids were just, you know, they didn't have classrooms. And so these parents were advocating in-person learning, and they were also against mask mandates. And so now they've been described as wackos and domestic terrorists. And one of the women, it's a member of the board of supervisors, called them alt-right, which is bizarre because the group of parents, it includes black people, Jewish people, all kinds of people. It's not a political group. It's just people that are concerned about their children, and they don't want things forced down their children.
Right, but if a person of color is not on the left, then they're not really a person of color. They, too, are white in the fine tradition of a man deciding he's a woman and a woman deciding she's a man. Again,
yeah,
Jim,
they just make
it up. They just make it up. And if we dare say anything, then we're the racists and we're the terrorists. There's people at the top that are causing all these things to happen that don't care about racial relations and they don't care about witch hunts. What they care about is turning people in the country against each other. And they'll do it any way they can. Trumpers, the never-Trumpers, the vaxxers, the anti-vaxxers, they don't care. They don't care about any of that stuff. What they care about is creating a subset culture against another subset culture so that they can crash our system, and then we're living under a Marxist dictatorial government with them in charge. That's what's going on, folks. And if that sounds like a conspiracy theory, it's not. It's a conspiracy fact, because I just listen to what the people say they're going to do, and they're doing it. That's all.
Yeah. And there's nothing new about that. This type of thing has happened throughout history. I just didn't think it would happen in this country in my lifetime.
I thought it would happen in this country in my lifetime, or at least I thought there was a chance. I didn't think it would happen so quickly these last two years. COVID enabled them to accelerate it. We're where I would have thought we'd be 5 or 10 years from now. I definitely saw us going there. But COVID made it happen much quicker than I anticipated. And I'm one of the watchdogs who watches this stuff like a hawk.
Yeah. You know, COVID was just an opportunity for the agenda, the narrative, to be pushed faster and with more force. I think you're right. I think this thing's been in play and they've been planning this. But the release of the COVID virus which I think we agree was man-made. I think we know where
it was man-made, and it was deliberately released, and it was released because the Chinese were trying to get rid of Trump because Trump was standing up to them, and they wanted a jerk like Biden in there. They love Biden. They don't respect Biden.
They do.
Oh, by the way, you were talking earlier about that person who wrote the letter to Biden asking him to call off the witch hunt. Now, I'm just guessing now. I can't confirm this, but I'm guessing that one of Biden's responses might be that he already stopped the Salem witch hunt because he was there and he spoke against it. But he didn't do it right away. He had to help Columbus discover America first. He was one of the navigators on Columbus's ship.
Everything is Trump's fault for those folks, and that's getting old. I think I'm not the only person in this country that's tired of that song. You know, everything is Trump's fault,
If you get a flat, if you get a flat tire in the road, it's Trump's fault.
Trump's fault. Yeah. So, but you're right. They seized that opportunity, and man, things have accelerated. Now, here's another story. Excuse me. I'm dealing with allergies out here. Our seasons out here are confused. My poor plants in my yard don't know what to think because the weather in Texas is typically bipolar. And so we can have a 40-degree swing within a 24-hour period back and forth. Anyway.
Well, we have four seasons in California, too. A lot of people don't think we do. But our four seasons are floods, fires, earthquakes, and riots. So we do have our four seasons.
When I lived out there, people would say we don't have, you know, change of season. I said, sure we do. We have football, and we have baseball, and we have basketball.
I saw a picture on the internet. It said, time for a Californian to get ready for winter, and it showed him putting on his sandals, but his socks were still on. He was wearing shorts.
Yeah.
And he was putting on his sandals, but he was leaving his socks on, and that's how a Californian prepares for winter.
I come out and visit, and I remember, and I grew up there, but you folks have it pretty good when it comes to the weather in San Diego there. I got to admit that.
Well, when there isn't a flood or a fire or an earthquake, sure, we have it good.
And I want to say, too, we have some strong winds sometimes, too, so come on.
Yeah, and a lot of that strong wind is coming out of Sacramento.
Oh, I thought it was the Santa Ana winds he was talking about.
Oh, I'll take the Santa Ana winds over King Newsom in Sacramento any day of the week.
I do miss that, you know, because it would be hot, but not Texas hot. Texas hot is stupid. You know, it's hot and humid and all that. So no more about the weather. We just kind of rolled on into a weather report there.
Yeah, when you're talking about the weather, you're going to be known as a boring radio conversation. So we need to get off the weather fast. Although, again, I do want to say that floods, fires, and earthquakes, that's pretty exciting, dramatic weather. That's not too boring.
That's pretty good, All right, here's another story. This is in Hudson, Ohio. The mayor of Hudson issued an ultimatum to the school board calling on its members to either resign or possibly face criminal charges. This is wild stuff. Over a high school course, a book that was being used in a class called Writing in the Liberal Arts. And here are some things that are part of this curriculum.
So I'm trying to figure this out. Is this mayor a good guy or a bad guy? Is this a good school board? Oh, because he's a good guy coming to get something stupid that the school board did.
Yeah. Okay. This was the textbook that was being used in this particular class. It's called Writing the Liberal Arts, and it contained prompts that asked the students to write and to describe, here's one, your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs.
Oh, my gosh.
It gets worse. Write a sex scene you wouldn't want to show your mother.
You wouldn't want to show your mother. But we're going to instruct you to do it. And by the way, don't tell your mother. And if you do tell your mother and she comes down and she complains at a PTA meeting, we're going to label her as a terrorist and send the moderate Merrick Garland to her door to arrest her.
Here's a couple of more examples of this. This is bizarre. This is in a textbook being used in a class in a school. Come up with an X-rated Disney scenario.
Oh, Jim, they don't have to do that. All they have to do is watch Disney Plus. They have a show on Disney Plus now about a coach. He's coaching a female basketball team. It's a good show. Dana and I watched a few episodes. I made it till about episode 5 where they had two women making out, major characters on the show. Disney used to say the most trusted name in family entertainment.
I
want to say I love Disney, but I mean I love the Disney from the past. But Walt is turning in his grave.
This was talking about taking the classic animated characters.
Oh, brother. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, they're doing that in their animated features, too. Well, put a hold on that. We will be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Run, run, Rudolph! Santa thinks we'll make it in town. Santa, make him hurry, tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph! Reeling like a merry-go-round.
And last week we played the song where the husband and wife were saying goodbye at the Paris airport in Home Alone. You just heard Run, Run, Rudolph, which they played while they were running to get on the plane in time, not knowing they left Kevin behind in Home Alone. Apparently, Brandon really loves Home Alone. I do, too. It's on my top 10 list of favorite Christmas movies. It's the bottom one. It's 10 on the top 10, but it's in the top 10. It certainly made the cut. And of course, those songs were famous in their own right, but I think most people know them now. It's the songs from Home Alone. And speaking of songs, welcome to Songs on Steroids, or as we like to call it, Stump Jim Barrier.
Okay.
Are you,
what do we got, Brandon?
Okay, so we're going to 1992 this time. I wanted to do a little bit more of a recent one, but I did brag about this to Bob before the show. I said, oh, there's no way he's going to get this on immediately. He'll get the artist, but definitely not the song. So, you ready, Jim?
Yeah. Now, you know, this is not in my wheelhouse because I'm more a 60s guy, but let's have it. This is 92.
Jim, we don't care about your wheelhouse. This is radio. We'll just do whatever we want.
And this is Christmas, too. So, I think you...
Oh.
We'll see. Okay, here we go.
You know, I should, yes, I, Is that Tom Petty?
Oh, my God. See, he got the artist.
Christmas all over again.
Yeah, he got it. Oh,
Tom
man.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Good. Hey,
is it the five? Did I get it?
Yep, you got it on the dot. Nice job. I'll play it a little bit longer here.
Sometimes, yeah, let it play.
Everybody's singing. All the bells are ringing out. It's Christmas all over again.
Good job, Jim. Good job.
Well, wow. Jim, it's a Christmas miracle. Your wheelhouse expanded. Jim said that time area is into my wheelhouse, but it was Christmas time. It's a Christmas miracle. I just don't want to hear them writing carols about wearing your masks and visiting grandma on Zoom during Christmas and Thanksgiving, like that piece of work governor from Michigan did last year.
Yeah. I got to admit on that one, Brandon, Tom Petty really goes back to the late 70s. And so that's the only reason I was even familiar with it, because I happen to like Tom Petty. I've seen him a couple of times in concert. In fact, he passed away a couple of years ago, and that was a sad day for some of us music lovers. But that's the only reason I even had a
well, it wasn't really sad because, you know, Joe Biden wrote all of Tom Petty's music. So the real artist is still alive because Joe did it.
just stop it. Will you just stop it?
I feel we should support our president. So if he's going to keep expanding his resume, should I not do likewise? Because you know what a faithful citizen I am of President-elect Biden.
Oh, man. Well, and you know, in all fairness, you were having fun with Joe Biden long before he ran for president.
I know. I've said, and I'll say again, I do feel sorry for him that he's losing his mind. Whenever he's going through dementia, I know people that have gone through that. That's not fun. But his family should love him enough to not put him in the job of being the president of the free world. However, when his mind was at full throttle, he was never the sharpest tool in the shed, and there's a truckload of things he said in the last 40 years of politics. And so
I'm afraid you're right about that, but
the subtlety sometimes escapes us.
Yeah, you know, and again, on the double standards and the things we've been talking about, you know, the influence on our children, but the government and the education system. When Trump was president and he was, you know, very popular among a lot of people, but I have friends, relatives who, you know, said he's Hitler, you know, which just bugs me when they do that. Let me tell you something. Now, I'm jumping all over
the people that would call somebody like Trump Hitler are not going to recognize a real Hitlerian presidency, which we are now seeing in an embryonic stage. Because civil rights being taken away from citizens right now are much more reminiscent of what Hitler did, at least in the early age. They're not dragging people into concentration camps yet. But you look at the early Nazis in the early 1930s, it's very much pitting wealthy against unwealthy, the anti-Semitism, the socialism. The Nazi Party stands for Socialist Party. You can just go down the list. The euthanasia.
Yeah.
I mean, just go down the list. So will the real Nazi please stand up? That's what we have to ask.
Now, when I was in high school, I had this very unusual teacher. The class was supposed to be called World History, but it was really a philosophy class, and he was trying to teach us to think, and he had you could do extra credit reading, and he had several books that he had us read if we wanted to, and I read them. One was Guerrilla by Che Guevara, who is some people's hero, and the other one was Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. So I think I know a little bit about what Hitler was thinking and how he operated because I read his book and I read history. This is from his book, Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. Whoever has the youth has the future, he said. And when the Nazis came into power, they began to organize groups to train young people.
They closed down the Boy Scouts and they organized the Hitler Youth instead.
The Hitler Youth. And boys were in the young people group and girls were in the Hitler Youth.
And they were told to turn in their parents. They were told to spy on their parents and turn them into the party. And they did it. I mean, not every one of them, but many of them.
It was just a bizarre thing. They hijacked a generation. They began to train, brainwash, and indoctrinate these kids.
And what does that remind us of? Our mayor here in L.A., snitches get rewards. De Blasio saying the same thing. People are being told to snitch on those that don't wear their masks or snitch on those that have too much. And these are the people that are accusing those who love the Constitution of being Nazis, and they're acting like the Nazis. Yeah. It's just
mind-boggling. But Hitler was in no way the first to come up with this type
of
thing.
No.
Way back in the Old Testament days, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he conquered.
You don't mean Nebuchadnezzar. You mean Nebuchadnezzar. I want to get our kings correct.
Not yet. Not your governor.
All right.
Nebuchadnezzar.
I always get those two confused.
And he had his officials bring some of the youth from Israel, and they included Daniel, the prophet, and then three of his friends who were named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, we know them in the three other weird names, not the three original weird names.
But you can do a Bible study on the meaning of those names, their original names, and then the names that the Babylonian names. What he was doing, he was stealing their identity, changing their identity. And these kids were ordered, they were indoctrinated. His officials were told to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans, and they were to eat and drink the food that the king ate. They prepared a menu for them, and they were basically, they were indoctrinated into the system. Now, what made Daniel so special and his friends, he said, I'm not going to defile myself with your food and your wine. And they did a little test. He said, let me and my friends, we'll just eat food of our own selection, and you give us so much time, and we'll see if we're just as healthy as the other youth.
And you know what? That shows that Daniel's a much better man than I am, because I would have taken the king's Krispy Kreme donuts in a heartbeat. So it's a good thing Daniel was there and not me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, but it's a great story. And Daniel, of course, was one of the great heroes in the Old Testament. And later on, you know the story, Nebuchadnezzar had a big statue of himself built. And they got the band up there. Speaking of bands, it's a non sequitur, but CBS has been running promos for a show tonight, which I'm sorry I'm going to miss, put on by Oprah, one of my favorites. And it's a concert with Adele, who I'm not real fond of anyway. And they're billing this as the concert of a lifetime. Really? Concert of a lifetime?
Now, what exactly makes something the concert of a lifetime?
I don't know. I saw the Beatles. I saw Jimi Hendrix. I saw The Who perform Tommy. I saw Pink Floyd perform The Wall. And, of course, our generation had
Jim, this is probably a concert that's going to ask us to watch out for our health, though. And so if they use the magic word health, then that would make it the concert of a lifetime.
Concert of a lifetime. I thought that's enough reason for me to never, ever watch it.
There's Oprah, nothing you said about that makes me want to go home and see it.
So I'm sorry. Sorry I brought that up. Let's go back to Nebuchadnezzar. And so these youths were abducted, literally. And the same thing happened to them, was attempted to take place with them, that Hitler did with the youth in his regime. And I believe it's very much like what is taking place today in our society. I think the children are being abducted, they're being indoctrinated, they're being brainwashed.
And they're being told that their parents are terrorists.
Right, yeah. We need to be alarmed by this. And so I really got to commend those parents that are coming out and they're asking for resignations of people in position in public school systems that are indoctrinating kids and feeding them pornography and taking away their rights. And we need more of that. So there is something that can be done, and there are brave people out there who are willing to take a stand and willing to speak up, even though they're labeled as domestic terrorists, even though they're called enemies of the state.
And see, now an enemy of the state is anybody that just criticizes the Biden administration.
You know what?
They try to do whatever works. After the last election, they said anybody who says Biden didn't win legitimately is a terrorist. They tried to stretch it to anybody who voted for Trump is a terrorist. That wasn't going to sell. And so now it's getting back to parents are terrorists if they go to a school board meeting and complain. All right, Jim, hold that thought. We will be right back.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Winter Wonderland. I have always liked snow. I'm so grateful that Joe Biden invented snow for us. All right. I promise. That was my last Biden, the inventor joke. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
By the way, Caligula the cat is my favorite character in that book, just for the record.
I based Caligula the cat off of a real cat that we had. Cat had 1,000 expressions. And would look so annoyed. And I used to always wonder what he would say if he could talk. So
yeah.
Even though it's a fantasy novel, that cat is semi-autobiographical.
And that's probably not unusual when people write. I'm trying to do a little writing myself, by the way.
Congratulations on your new book. I saw it on Amazon, and it's great-looking cover, fantastic-looking cover showing the globe and the little sign that says you are here. I assume you wrote something inside. I can't really speak for that at this point, but it's a fantastic-looking cover, Jim.
It's actually, of the three books that I now have published, it's my favorite because it's just a little bit different. And you can tell by the title, it's a You Are Not of This World. So it's about the fact that there is an invisible kingdom that coexists with this physical one that we are trapped in. And so it deals with those things. So back to our program now. Just wanted to kind of wrap up some of these thoughts. And this is just some of my observations. It seems in history, whenever God's about to do something extraordinary, there is an attack on children. You remember when
that
Moses...
That is true. Moses, Jesus, that's a very...
Pharaoh executed the males when Jesus was born. Herod had all of the children, male children, born within 2 years near Bethlehem. There's another one that a lot of people don't know, but according to Jewish writings, at the time of Abraham's birth, Nimrod slew 70,000 children because it had been prophesied that there would be a new leader arise, and it was a threat to his power. And the things we alluded to with Nebuchadnezzar and then with Hitler and the Nazi regime, they go after the kids. And then you made a brief reference, and I just want to kind of underscore this. Now, this is according to the World Health Organization.
can take that one to the bank then.
This is their statistics, that every year between 40 and 50 million abortions occur worldwide.
Well, they probably said that accurately because that would not bother them, and therefore they wouldn't be afraid to report it. But abortions, and we're also having infanticides now, even though nobody ever wants to use the word. And then as if that's not enough,
that's
once the kids that survive and get into our elementary school are being literally abused, being told that they have to wear masks, even if they're asthmatics. And then the boys are being told they might be girls. If they're white, they're told to stand on the other side of the room because of their privilege. We're living in an apocalyptic nightmare. These are the kinds of movies we used to watch in the 70s, and we're living it, Jim. We're living it.
That's what's so scary about it for me, and I use that word. I don't live in fear, and I trust God. As Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And I have to put my faith, my confidence, and my hope in the creator of this universe. But we are living really in an apocalyptic time with all of these things going on. And I know we're going to probably run out of time here pretty soon, but a lot of this sounded negative. Some of it we've been poking a lot of fun, but we're talking about stories, current events, and we've read some things out of the scripture and some things out of history in the last 150 years. This is what I want to say to the listeners out there. Folks, our children are under attack, and parents must not allow the government and the public school system to raise our kids. Do not abdicate that responsibility. You have a duty and a moral obligation to teach your children, to teach them truth, to teach them moral principles, to teach them godliness. They're not going to get it anywhere else. You can't even always be sure that they're going to get it if you drag your kids to church and force them to go to Sunday school. They'll get something there, but it's the parents' responsibility to raise the children and to teach them. And I fear that we have dropped the ball on that. Now, all of my grandkids, you know, when I started having grandchildren, I thought, this is great. I want my grandkids to go to college. I do not want my grandchildren to go to college. I will encourage them to go to trade schools, but all of my grandkids are being homeschooled and have been for several years, even before COVID hit. My daughters decided to homeschool their kids, and I'm so glad that they did that because they're not going to be force-fed all of this garbage.
Well, you know what's interesting is I know some public school teachers that always used to just vehemently defend public school system, and they were down on homeschooling, but not anymore. One thing that did, and this is where you get back again, where the faith and the hope and the courage is found in God, because one good thing that did come out of the whole COVID thing and the shutdown and the Zoom, and this is where the Bible says in Romans that God makes all things work together for good. Because of Zoom, parents were listening in on some of the garbage that was being taught in the public schools. And when these teachers say, well, if we don't wear masks or if we don't do the vaccines, we don't want the schools to open up, I'm saying, please keep them closed. You think that's a threat? I'd be delighted if they don't open up. And I used to, my own kids were not homeschooled either. I sent them to the public school. I went to the public school. But times change.
Yes,
times
absolutely.
Change.
And that's, so we need to be aware of what's going on. And there are good Christian schools. We have them right here where I live, and I know there are some in San Diego. You can and not all of them are super expensive. Some of them are quite costly. But a lot of them use sliding scales. There are ways to try to get around that. But I'll tell you what, if I were raising children today, my last option would be to put them in public schools.
If I were raising children today and I was not religious, I'd still put them in a religious private school just so they don't have to hear this garbage. Anyway, Jim, we have come to the end of our program. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
I will see
you a week or so again on the air before the Christmas season of December comes in. And just enjoy it. Enjoy your freedom out in Texas. And think of us Californians once in a while.
Okay.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.